Shalom aleichem abuisai, shalom from Yerushalayim ira kodesh. Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach, we're about to begin the 14th topic of Parshas Emor, preparing the menorah for lighting. By the Aliyah of Shvi, Perek Chov Dalet, Posuk Aleph. Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, tzaved b'nei Yisrael, v'inkhu elecho shemen zayis zoch kosis lamor, Lehalois neir tomid. And Hashem told Moshe to command Am Yisrael to bring pure olive oil without any sediments. How do you do that? Kosis, by taking the olive oil that comes out of the first crush of the olives, without re-putting it into the olive press and without grinding it again. Those parts do have sediments, but the first crush will produce pure olive oil without sediments. Only that is going to be kosher lamo'oir. In order leha'alois ne'er, to light the candles, tomid, on a constant basis. Not that it's lit constantly, but it's lit on a daily basis, every single day. Says Rashi, Tzavez b'nei Yisrael, zu parshas mitzvah saneiros. This is the parsha telling us about hadlokas saneiros in the Beis HaMikdosh. We had it before in parshas Tetzaveh. Says Rashi, no. Uparshas da'ato tetzaveh, lo inemro elo al seder melechas ha-mishkon, lefarach tzorech ha-menoiro. The reason it was said over there is in the context of the building of the mishkon, to tell you what was the purpose of the menoiro. V'chein mashma, the words va'ato tetzaveh, es b'nei Yisrael, regarding the menoiro, means va'ato soivcho letzavo, es b'nei Yisrael al kach, you will eventually command them about this olive oil. And that's our parsha right now. Shemen zayis zoch, shloisha shmanim yoytzim en azayis. There are three types of oils that comes out of an olive. Harisha in the first one, koi zach, pure, without sediments. Vein mefuroshin b'menochois uvetiras kyanim. Namely, the first type of olive oil comes out from the initial press. And then they put it in an olive press to press it even more. And then they grind the leftovers, and then even more oil comes out. Only the first stage will be zoch, and only that is kosher l'menorah. Tomid, says Rashi, milaylo lelaylo. From night to night, you light it in the late afternoon, and it lights a whole night, not that it's lit a whole time. Where do we find another example that tomid does not mean all the time? Kemoy oilas tomid, she'eino elo miyoyim liyoyim. It's twice a day, it's not all the time. Consistency is also called tomid. Posuk gimel michut leforiches hoidus be'oihel moed yaroi choisoi aharoin me'erev ad boiker lifnei Adonai tomid chukasoi lom ledoiroi seichem. Where is the menorah situated? Right outside the poroiches hoedus. The poroiches was the curtain separating between the oroin, with which in it was the luchois ho'edus. The word edus over here is referring to the luchois. The luchois are testimony that Hashem revealed himself to Har Sinai on Am Yisrael and commanded us to keep the Torah and the mitzvahs. Be'oyel moyed, it's in oyel moyed. Over there, yaroich oisoi aroin, aroin has to prepare the menorah. How much oil does he have to put in there? Enough that it should light from evening to the morning. In front of Hashem, tomid, on a daily basis. Chukas oilom forever, l'deiroi seichem, for your generations to come. Says Rashi, l'poriches o'edus. Shelifnei ha'oroin, the poriches is in front of the oroin. Shehu, kori edus. The oroin is called edus. Rashi in Parshas Truma told us, because the luchois are called edus. Therefore, the oroin is called edus. The rabbi Seinu Dorshu, that this word edus, al derech hadrash, is referring to the Neir HaMa'arovi, one of the candles in the Beis HaMikdosh, that lit constantly. Shu edus l'chol boi oilom, it is a testimony to all the people in the world, Shashchino shoyro b'Yisrael, that Hashem dwells among us. Shenoysen bo shemen k'midas chavoyseo, you put the same amount of oil as you did in all the other cups. And nevertheless, umimana hoyom maschil, that was the first candle to be lit, ubo hoyom esayim, and that was the last candle to be prepared. The next day, he had to put it out in order to prepare it for the lighting that night. In other words, it lit all the time much longer than the other candles. And that was the Eidus. Yaroich oisoi aroin me'erev ad boikel. Yaroich oisoi, prepare it. Aricha haru'uyo lemidas kol alaylo. Preparation that it can light a whole night. How much is that? V'shiru chachomim echatzi lug l'chol ner v'ner. A half a lug in every cup. A kiddush cup is one quarter of a lug. So about two kiddush cups. V'hein kedai af le'leilos tkuvas teves. That will last even for the long winter nights. This was the measurement set for all nights, even the summer nights, where you don't need that much, but it was there was a kavua measurement for all nights. Rashi has two pshotim on the words menoiro hatohoiro, either the menoiro that was made out of zohov tohoir, pure gold, or make sure to clean out the cups before you put in the new oil. According to that pshat, toiro just means clean directly onto the menoiro with no dirt in between. That is where Aaron has to prepare the neirois on a constant basis. Interesting to note, the entire parasha talks about preparing the menoiro. It doesn't talk about the actual lighting of the menoiro. It says, Rashi ha-menoiro ha-toiro, shi zohov toir. That's the first pshat. The second pshat, al taharo shel menoiro, on the purity of the menoiro, namely, directly. Shemetaharo medash notchilo min ha'efer. First, you have to clean it from the ashes of the old wick of last night. Atkan, the 14th topic of the preparation of the menoiro. On to the 15th topic, how to make the lechem aponim, to put it on the shulchan. Posukei velokachto soiles veofiso iso. Take refined flour and bake it into 12 loaves. And each loaf should contain 2 esroinim. Every esroin is an asiri soifo, that is a shir chala. Every loaf is made up of 2 shir chalas. That's a lot of flour for one loaf. And keep in mind, the lechem aponim was baked into matzah. They mixed the flour and the water. They didn't let it rise. They baked it right away, but it was thick. The Mishnah says it was 4. It was a tefach thick, 4 fingers. But it was matzah, not chametz. Posuk vav esamto iso meshetaim arachos sheisham arachos al hashulchan atohor lifnei adonai. And you should place them in 2 stacks. Every stack should have 6 loaves. On the Shulchan HaTohoir Lifnei Hashem. Here also Rashi has 2 pshotim in the Shulchan HaTohoir. Says Rashi, Sheish HaMarochis, Sheish Chalois, 6 loaves HaMarechis O'achas on each stack. HaShulchan HaTohoir, either it means Shel Zohov Tohoir, pure gold. But over here, pure gold is different than the Menoiro. By the Menoiro, it was indeed pure gold. There was nothing else in there. By the Shulchan, it was made out of Atzei Shittim, coated with gold. But that coating was pure gold. Davar acher al taharo shel shulchan, directly on the table with nothing in between. Because the other loaves, the top 5 loaves of each stack, were on shelves, the snifin, which we spoke about in Parshas Truma. But the first 2 loaves are directly on the shulchan. That's what it means, ala shulchan atohir. Similar to the second pshat in Rashi, by menoiro tohoiro, directly on the menoiro. The shelves should not pick up the bottom loaf off the table. And you should put on each stack, both of them, you should put a cup of levoino, pure levoino, a type of spice. And when Shabbos comes and it's time to eat those lechem aponim by the kahanim, first, you put the levoina zako on the mizbeach, on the ishe Hashem, on the fires of Hashem, and that will be the azkoro, that's the remembrance of the lechem aponim to Hashem, and then you could eat the lechem aponim. Says Rashi, v'nosato al hamareches, al kol achas, mishtei ha-ma'arochos, on each one of the, both of the stacks, harei shnei bozichim levoino. Turns out we have 2 cups of levoino. Meloi koimetz l'chol achas, each cup had a koimetz full. A koimetz is the 3 middle fingers on the palm, almost a fistful. The Mizbeach doesn't get any part of the Lechem Aponim. Elo, Halavoino nikteres keshemisalkin oise b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos. It's the Lavoino that gets burnt on the Mizbeach when they remove the loaves on every Shabbos. V'hin lizikorin alechem. That is the remembrance of the Lechem to Hashem. Shal yodo nizkar lemalo kekoimetz shehi azkoro lemincho. We had the very same word regarding the koimetz of the mincha. It's also referred to as a azkoro. It's the mincha's remembrance in front of Hashem. Posuk ches b'yoyim ha-shabos, b'yoyim ha-shabos. Yachenu lifnei Adonai tomid, mi'eis b'nei Yisrael b'ris oilom. Every Shabbos, the Kohen should organize the breads on the Shulchan. Tomid, it always has to be on the Shulchan. The Shulchan may never be left without the Lechem upon him. This Tomid is a bit different than the Tomid we saw by the Menorah. Over there, Rashi had to say, it's not always lighting, it's a consistency that they light every day. But over here, Tomid means literally all the time. And the Lechem Aponim should be for Aaron and his children. Only they could eat it, and they could only eat it b'mokom kodosh in the Azora, because the Lechem Aponim has a status of Kodesh HaKadoshim, and like all Kodesh HaKadoshim, may be eaten only by male Kohanim in the Azora. Me'ishi Hashem, it's separated from the fires of Hashem. After you put the Levoina on the fire, then Aaron and his children have a right to eat the Lechem Aponim. Rashi points out that there's a grammatical problem in the Pasuk. The word Vehoiso, what is that referring to? Pashtus, it's referring to the Lechem Aponim. The problem is that lechem is loshen zocho, and vehoiso is loshen nekevo. It should have said vehoyu or vehoyo. And that Rashi answers that the vehoiso is referring to the korban mincho. Although this is lechem aponim, Rashi says any korban brought from flour is referred to as a mincho, although it didn't say it in this parsha at all. But says Rashi, that's what the vehoiso loshen nekevo is referring to. Referring to the mincha name of this lechem aponim. And mincha is indeed loshen nekeva. But then the problem is the next word. Va'achaluhu b'mokem kodosh. Va'achaluhu is loshen zochor. Loshen nekeva would have been va'achaluho. On that Rashi says va'achaluhu is referring back to what it's called lechem haponim. And lechem is loshen zochor. Says Rashi v'oizo ha'mincha hazois. Rashi's talking a word that the Pasuk didn't say. The reason he's doing it, because he's bothered by the Loshen Nekeva of a Hoiso. And then he has to say, she called Dovor Abomin HaTvua, any korban that comes from grain, Bichlal Minchohu. Ba'achalu hu, Loshen Zocho, Musav al Alechem, Shu Loshen Zocho. So to sum up, the 15th parasha of Lechem Aponim, it was made 12 chalois, each chalo was made out of 2 esroinim. A sum total of 24 esroinim were needed to make the Lechem Aponim. It was baked on Friday, and then on Shabbos, it was put on to the Shulchan, and the old breads were taken off. Chazal tell us they were as fresh as when they went on. They're maktir, the 2 bozich levoino, and then the Kohanim eat the Lechem Aponim, which was on the Shulchan for a week. And then next week, we'll do the same thing. Lechem Aponim has the status of Kodesh Kadoshim, and may be eaten only by male Kohanim in the Azorah. At kan the 15th topic of Parshas Emor, Lechem Aponim. Shalom aleichem, Aboisai. Shalom from Yerushalayim, Yirah Kodesh. Be'ezer Hashem Yisborach. We're about to begin the 16th and last topic of Parshas Emor, the Mekalel. Perek Chof Dalet, Posuk Yud. Va'yetzei ben isho Yisraelis, ve'hu ben ish mitzri besir ben Yisrael. Va'inotzu b'machane ben ha'Yisraelis, ve'ish ha'Yisraeli. There was a Yid whose mother was Jewish, and father was a Mitzri. This was the Mitzri that Moshe Rabbeinu killed in Parsha Shmois. This was the only case of Znus that happened in Mitzrayim. And the result of this Znus was this Yid we're talking about. He went out and he started fighting with another Yid. What was the fight about? Rashi will tell us. Says Rashi, Vayetze ben Isho Yisraelis. The poshut pshat of the word Vayetze, he went out into the machane. But Rashi makes three drushes on this word Yetze. Mehichon Yotso, where did he go out from? Pshat, drash number one, Rabbi Levi Yoimer, Me'oilomoy Yotso. He's about to be killed, and therefore he left this world. Rabbi Brach Yoimer, a second drash, Mipansho Shelemalo Yotso. He just finished learning about the Lechem Aponim that we previously learned in the previous parasha. Ligleg v'omar, he ridiculed. The Pasuk says, B'yoyim HaShabbos Yarchenu. The Kohen sets up the Lechem on Shabbos, and then it's going to be eaten only the next Shabbos. Frekt ben Israelis. And he ridiculed, Derech HaMelech Lechol Paschamo B'chol Yoyim. The way of a king is to eat fresh bread every day. Shema pas trinenes shel tisha yomim bitmiya. Is it the normal way for a king to eat bread that's 9 days old, that was baked on Friday, and eaten the following Shabbos? It doesn't make any sense. He ridiculed the Torah. Umasnita omro, a third drash. Where is he coming out from? Mi beis dinu shel Moshe yotze mechuyev. He came out of the bezin of Moshe, and he was chayev. What was the din Torah about? Bolita oholoi b'soich machanei don. He wanted to pitch his tent in the camp of Shevet Don. Omruloi mativ cholekan. And Shevet Don asked him, what are you doing here? Omolahem mibnei don ani. My mother is from Shevet Don, as we're about to see. That's what I'm doing over here. Omruloi, it doesn't go by the mother. Ish al digloi b'oisois leveis avoisom ksiv. It goes by the father. Your father's a goy. You have no right to pitch your tent over here in Shevet Don. Nichnas the Beis Dinei Shel Moshe. He went to Moshe to paskin the Shaila. V'yotze mechuyev Moshe paskin your chayev. He's right. You have no right to pitch your tent in Machane Don. And as a result, he got angry. Omad v'gidef. He got up and he cursed Hashem. Ben ish mitzri hu ha mitzri shorak Moshe in Parsha Shmois. Besoich bnei Yisrael melamed shen isgayer. He's hanging around Am Yisrael. Namely, he became a geir. And the Ramban points out, Nisgayer over here is Lav Davka. His mother's Jewish, that means he's Jewish. He doesn't need to be Misgayer. But the point is, he chose his mother's religion, and he acted Jewish. He did not follow his father's Mitzri's footsteps, and he's acting Jewish. That's what Nisgayer means over here. Vayinotzu b'machane, al iske machane. What Rashi told us before, he's fighting about where to put his tent, is hinted in the Pasuk, b'machane. They're fighting about which machane could I pitch my tent. V'ish ha-Yisraeli ze shekenegdoi. That was the man from Shevet Don that was fighting with him. Shemicha boy al-mata oholoi. He made a macho. What are you putting your tent over here in Shevet Don? Pasuk yud ale v'vayikoiv. Ben ho-isho ha-Yisraeli says Hashem. V'yikaleil v'yoviyo Yisrael Moshe. V'shem imoi shlemis bas divri. Lemateidon. And this man, whose mother was Jewish, he said Hashem's name, Mefurash, Yud-Kei-Vov-Kei, and then he cursed Hashem's name. And they brought him to Moshe. And who was this Yid? His mother's name was Shloimis Bas-Divri from Shevet Don. Says Rashi, Vayikoiv Ketargumoy, Uporish. He expressed explicitly, Shenokav Shem HaMeyuchod, he said Shem HaShem, Yud Kei Vov Kei, Shem HaMefoyrosh, V'gidef, and he cursed. V'hu Shem HaMefoyrosh, Shem HaBesina, Yud Kei Vov Kei. B'Shem Imoy Shloimis Bas Divri. Shvochon Shel Yisrael, Shepirsim HaKosov Lezu. The fact that the Torah says who his mother was is a shvach for Am Yisrael. Loimar She Levado Hisa Zoyno. This was the only woman that was Mezane throughout the history of Am Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Shloimis. They have a pat peto, shlomaloch, shlomaloch, shlomaleichoin. There's a reason what led her to znus. It's because she would schmooze with everybody. She would say shalom to everybody she met. Me pat petet bidvorim, to chirp and to talk to everybody. Shoelet b'shloim akoil, a lack of tznius, and that's what caused her to do znus. Bas dibri, Rashi darshed that also. Davroni soisho, she was a big talker. Medaberes kim im kol odom, which is improper. Lefichoch kilkolo, that's reported to Znus. Le Mateidon. Why does the Pasuk mention that she's from Mateidon? Says Rashi Magi, this teaches us, Sharo Shogurim Gnai Loi, Gnai Lo Oviv, Gnai Le Shivtoi. If a person is a Rosho, it's not only embarrassment for him, It's an embarrassment for his father and for the entire Shevet. Kayoitzeboy on the positive side, Oholiyov ben Achisomoch lemate don, he was Bezalel ben Uri's right-hand man in building the Mishkan. We mentioned his father's name and the Shevet. Shvach loy, shvach lovi, shvach leshivdoy. Whatever you do, you're affecting the name of your family and of your Shevet. Posu gudbeid vayanichuhu b'mishmor lifoish lohem al piyadoinoy. So they put him in jail, and they're waiting to see what Hashem is going to tell Moshe. What is the din of somebody who curses Hashem? Says Rashi, v'yanichu hu levadoi. He was put in a separate cell. V'loi hinichu mekoishesh imoi. At the end of Parshas Shlach, it says that there was a yid that was mechalel Shabbos, and there also they put him in jail. And Rashi tells us shishneim hoyu beperek erod. Both stories were at the same time, but they were put in different cells. Why? Because regarding the Mekoshesh, who was Mechalal Shabbos, Yoidim Oyusha Mekoshesh B'Miso, they knew that somebody is Mechalal Shabbos Chayim Miso. Shenemah, they heard it already in Parashas Kisiso, Mechalele Homois Yumos. What they didn't know is, Avaloi Purash Loem Be'ezoi Miso. Which Miso? Lekach Nemah, Kiloi Purash Ma Ye'oseloi. Which Miso should he be killed with? Mashenkin over here by the Mekalel, Avol Mekalel, who oima lifroish lohem, shlo hoyu yoidim, im chayev misa im lav. They don't know if the Mekalel is chayev misa at all. And therefore they're put in separate cells, they're not in the same parasha. They both did something wrong, both put in jail, but for slightly a different reason. By the Mekoshes, which misa should we give him? And by the Mekalel, should we kill him or not? Posugud gimel vaydaber Adonai el Moshe leimoy roitze es hamekalel el michutz lamachane v'somechu chol ashoy meim es yedeihem al roishoy v'rog moisoy kol hoido. And Hashem spoke to Moshe and he told him, take the mekalel out outside the camp, and all those that heard him cursing Hashem, namely the Edim, Rashi says the Dayanim also, they put their hands on his head and they tell him, listen here, it's not our fault that you're being put to death, you brought it upon yourself. And v'rog moisa kol ha'edo, the Edim and the Dayanim, they kill him beskila, and that's considered that the entire Edo killed him because shlucha shel Adam kimoisoi. Says Rashi, hashoimim elu ha'edim. Kol hashoyimim lahoviyas hadayonim. They also put their hands on it. Es yedeihem. What's the idea of the smich over here? Omrim loy domcha beroyishcha. It's your own fault that you're being killed. Vein anu ne'noshim b'misoscha. We're not going to get punished for killing you. Shato goram talacha. You caused it to yourself. Kol oedo. It doesn't mean they all stone him. Rather b'maymat kol oedo. When everyone is there, mekan sheshlucha shelodim kemoisoi. They're doing it in the name of the entire oedo. I don't understand how this person was Chayev Misa. If they didn't know in the first place if doing that is Mechayev Misa, so how did they get Hasra? What Hasra did they give him? They couldn't have given that you're going to be Chayev Misa. They didn't know that. Ain't no idea. Posuk tezvav vel v'nei Yisrael tedaber le'moir ish ish ki yekalel eloi hov v'nosoch et oi. And tell Am Yisrael as follows. Any man who curses Hashem, even without Edim and Asra, if he did it b'mezid, he will carry his chet, he will b'chayev kores. Says Rashi, v'noso chetoi b'kores, k'shein Asra. Posuk tezayin v'nekev, sheim adoinoi, mo'oiz yumos, ragoi mirgum uvoi koloido, k'agel ko'ez roch b'nokvoi sheim yumos. And if somebody expresses Hashem's name, Yudkei Vovkei, and he curses in front of Edim with Hasra, then he's chayev misa in Bezdin, he's chayev skila. Whether he's a geir, whether he's a born Jew, if he expresses mefurish yud kei vav kei in his mekalel, he'll be put to death. He's chayev misa. Says Rashi v'nei kev shem Hashem, einu chayev ad sheifar es Hashem. It has to be yud kei vav kei. V'loy mekalel bekinui. All the other names of Hashem are will be called a kinui. It refers to Hashem because of whatever reason. Lamoshul, the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The root of the word is Odoin. He is a master. So when we say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, referring to Hashem. Or the Shem Elohim, also it's referring to a Koyach. we find Elohim Achirim Lahavdil by Avodah Zarah also. That means it's not Hashem Ho'etzim, it's not Be'etzim Hashem's name, it's just referring to Hashem. If you said the other Shem Ois of Hashem, you will not be Chayiv Misa that you Chayiv Malkus for, because a Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim over there it says Elohim Lo Yiseh Kalel, Misa is only for Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Posuk Yud Zayin Ve'ish Ki Yakeh Kol Nefesh Adam. I'm sorry, we skipped to Rashi. V'noi Kev says Rashi Loshen Klolo. The Posuk doesn't say any curse over here. Has to be that V'noi Kev means a curse. He cursed Shem Hashem. Where do we find Noikev being a curse? Kamoi, Bila Marosha says, Mo'ekoiv. That's referring to a curse. That's interesting. Because Rashi, in Posuk Yud Aleph, on the word Vayikoiv, which seems to be the same word as Venoikev, over there Rashi says, Vayikoiv means to say Mefurish. That's what Targum says over there. And Targum says that over here also. Venoikev, Targum says, V'diyafarish. Why does Rashi say over here, Venoikev means Klolo, different than Targum, and different than he himself translated in Posuk Yud Aleph? I don't know. Could be Rashi's bothered by, in Posuk Tezayin, it doesn't say anything about a curse. In Posuk Yud Aleph, it says Vayikoiv, and then Vayekalel. So Vayikoiv means he would mefarish Shem Hashem, and then Vayekalel. Over here, it doesn't say any Klolo. Now, without any Klolo, you're not giving Gerchayim Misa. Must be that this Vayikoiv means a Klolo. Maybe. Posuk Yud Zayin Ve'ish Ki Yakeh Kol Nefesh Adam Mois Yumos. From here, through Posuk Chof Beis, the Torah is taking a little break from the Mekalel. The last Posuk Chof Gimel, will get back to him. And the Posuk will tell us that they gave him Skila, as Hashem told Moshe. What are Psukim Yud Zayin through Chof Beis doing over here? I don't know. It could be, we're about to discuss other actions people do when they get angry, and what is the halachas over there? That's why this person was mekalel Hashem, because he got angry. Anger could cause other actions also, and what are their halachas? Halacha number one says Posuk Yud Zayin: if somebody kills somebody, he will be chayev misa or ritzayach. Says Rashi v'ish ki yake lefi shenema. We had a posuk in Parshas Mishpatim, maki ish v'meis. That a Ritzeach is Chayiv Misa, why do I need another posuk? Emphat Rashi, if I only had that posuk, I would have said, Ein li elo shor, I guess, Ish. If you killed a man, as it says, Make Ish. What about Isha v'koton minayin? If somebody killed a woman or a koton, how do we know he's also Chayiv Misa? Tamud loymar our posuk, V'ish kiyake kol nefesh odom, any living human being, including women and children. Posuk yudches u'makei nefesh be'imo yeshalemeno, Nefesh tachas nofesh. And if somebody kills an animal, he has to pay for it. Ve'ish ki yitein mum ba'misoi kasher oso kein ye'os eloi. Shever tachas shever ayin tachas ayin shein tachas shein. Kasher yitein mum bo'odom kein yinosen boi. If we translate these two psukim literally, what the psukim are saying, if somebody damages his friend, whatever he did to him, that's what should be done back to the person who damaged. If he broke his hand, break his hand. Poked out his eye, poke out his eye. Knocked out his tooth, knock out his tooth. Whatever he did, that's what you do back to him. But says Rashi, that's not the pshat. Ken yinosen boi pirshu rabbi seinu. Sheinu nesinas mum mamish. You don't literally do it to him what he did. And he has to pay for the damages. And how do you pay for the damage of knocking out someone's eye? Show me no kevet. You evaluate him as if he was an Evek Nani. How much would he worth to be sold with an eye? And how much is he worth without an eye? And the difference, that's what you have to pay. And where do Chazal darshan it from the Posuk? Last words of Posuk Chof. Ken yinosen boi. Dovaniton. Something that's passed from hand to hand, namely money. Posuk Chof Aleph, Umakei Vehimo Yishalemeno, Umakei Odom Yumos. Posuk Chof Aleph is different than Posuk Yud Ches. Posuk Yud Ches, Umakei Nefesh Behimo Yishalemeno, that's talking about you killed your friend's animal. Over here, Umakei Behimo Yishalemeno, you damaged your friend's animal. he's not dead, but he was damaged, you have to pay the damage. Umaki odom yumos. Here also, we're not talking about killing somebody that we saw in Pasuk Zayin already. Rather, this is talking about if a person hits his parents, his father or his mother, even if they don't die, as long as blood came out, whether it came out all the way or an internal bleeding and then made a black and blue mark, the blood came out from somewhere, even if it still stayed in the body, such a person is going to be chayav misa. Says Rashi, Umake beimo yishalmeno. Lemalo in posigud ches, dibe ba hoireg beheimo. Vekan, dibe ba oise bo chabura. He damaged it. Umake odom yumos, afiru loy horgoi, elo osa bo yichabura. Shalini marka nefesh. It doesn't say nefesh in the posuk, as it says in posuk yud zayin. That tells me he didn't kill the person. He did a chabura. So who, when are you chayev misa for doing a chabura in somebody? Person hits his parents. The pasuk puts together together with make behemo, and we learn two halachis out of this. Number one, ma make behemo michaim af make ovi veimo michaim. Just like make behemo, we're talking about that you hit and damaged a live animal. If you hit and damaged a dead animal, you didn't damage anything. He's dead. So to make ovi veimo is only chayev if they're alive. Prat l'make racha misa. If a person hit his parents after they're dead, he will not be chayev misa. Why would I think he is chayev misa? L'vishemotzinu shamekala loy l'achal misa chayev. We saw in Parshas Kedoshim that if a person curses his mother and father even after they're dead, he is chayev misa. I would have thought hu adin make ovi veimo l'achal misa should be chayev. By the comparison to Behemo, we learn out that Makke Obe V'Imoi, after they're dead, is going to be Potu. That's one halacha we learn out from this comparison. A second halacha, Uma Be Behemo B'Chabolo, that he damaged her in a way that blood came out. Shemein Chabolo ain't a shlumin. If he didn't damage her in a way that blood came out, he stam hit her, there was no damage, there's no nezek, he doesn't have to pay. Also, you only chayev misa if you did a chabura, namely blood came out, either totally or internal bleeding, making a black and blue mark. What I don't understand in this Rashi is, where did Rashi know, or where did Chazal know, that the behema is talking about bechabolo, dafko blood came out? There is no damages without blood? What happens if you broke the animal's foot, you broke its hand? No blood. You just fractured its arm. That's a damage. But by Makke Ovi V'Imoi, you won't be chayev for such a thing. Makke Ovi V'Imoi needs dafka blood. So I don't understand how we learn out from here. Makke Ovi V'Imoi is dafka with blood. The same halacha is applied to a geir as to a born Jew, because I am Hashem and both of your gods equally, and all the halachas in the Torah apply to both of you equally. It says Rashi, "Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, Elokei Kulchem, Kishem Shani Miyachet Shmi Aleichem, Kachani Miyachet Oyal Agerim." Posuk Chav Gimel. Back to the main story, the Mekalel. Vayidaber Moshe El Bnei Yisrael, Vayoytziu Es Hamekalel. El michutz lamachane v'ergimoy soy oven uvnei Yisrael osu kasher tzivu Adonai es Moshe. And Moshe told Bnei Yisrael what Hashem had told him, that the mekalel is chay of skilo, and they took the mekalel outside the machane and they gave him skilo. They stoned him to death. But not only that, uvnei Yisrael also, they did exactly as Hashem told Moshe elsewhere how skila is supposed to look. Skila is not simply you stone him to death. Skila, we learn out from other psukim, you take him to a rooftop, which is at least the height of two people, and you throw him off. If he dies, then no need to stone. It's only if he didn't die, then you stone him until he dies, and then afterwards you have to hang him up, tliya, until shkia. Says Rashi, Bnei Yisrael, also, kol ha-mitzvah ha-mura b'skila b'mokom achel. We learn out dechiyo, you have to push him off a roof. Regimo, that's mefurish in the pasuk, that you stone him if he didn't die. And then v'tliya, also learned out from elsewhere that kol ha-niskolim nitlim. Anybody that's chayv skila, you gotta hang him after the skila. Adkan, the 16th and last topic of Parshas Emor, the Mekalel. Let us sum up the 16 topics of Parshas Emor. The beginning of the parasha talks about Kehanim. Topic number one, Hilchus Kehanim. They can't be metame lebeis, and which women they're not allowed to marry. Topic number two, the special halachas of a Kohen Godoil. Topic number three, a Kohen with a mum can't do the avodah, and what are the mumim? Topic number four, a Kohen that's tomei can't eat kochim, cannot eat truma, and other halachas of truma. Topic number five, mumim by a korban. Topic number six, couple of topics over there. You can't bring a korban less than 8 days old. You can't shecht the mother and its child. You have to have the right kavanah when you shecht the korban toido. You can't do chilul Hashem. You got to be mekadosh Hashem. And then start the parshas hamoyadois. Topic number seven, the hakdomo elei moyadoi, and Shabbos comes in there. Topic number eight, Pesach and Chag HaMatzos. Topic number nine, korban oimer on the second day Pesach. The Antes Zayin Nisan. Topic number 10, Sfiras HaOimer, and the Shtei Alechem that you bring at the end of it, on Chag HaShavuos. 11, Rosh Hashanah, 12, Yom HaKippurim, 13, Sukkos. 14, the preparing the Menorah to be lit, Shemen Zayi Zoch. 15, how to make the Lechem Aponim. And 16, the Mekalel. And other halachos that came in Derech Agav, the halachos of a roitzeach, the halachos of killing an animal, damaging an animal, damaging other human beings, makov ve'imoy. I hope you enjoyed this recording. You got a te'elis out of it, and I'm looking forward to hearing your ha'orois, your terutzim, mainly your corrections for the mistakes I may have made throughout this recording. Good Shabbos.